It's Miller Time every night at 6 p.m. Don Miller and friends on the Big 810 AM.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Don Miller Show, where we listen, laugh, and learn on the Big 810 Orlando's Real Talk. We got a great show for you today. I'm D'Amica Page. Here's your host, Don Miller.
Hello, everybody. It's Friday! Yeah! I had to do that. I know that sounds real ignorant. I hope nobody who loves me ain't listening. But it's Friday!
Provocative local talk. It's on now, and it's live. Miller Time on the Big 810 AM.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Don Miller Show. We have a great conversation for you today. Bishop Eddie Long, the pastor of New Birth Missionary Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia, has apparently been crowned with a ritual use of the Jewish Torah scroll. And apparently,
stop trying to explain.
Apparently,
that.
This rabbi, Ralph Messer, is a phony, a scam, another scam right here. Right there in New Birth Missionary Baptist Church. And we got a lot of guests today. Here's your host.
How many scams?
Don Miller.
Look, this is a question of the day.
We've had three settlements of three different scams.
How many scams can happen in one church? You know what? This is nonsense. Listen, we thank our guests for joining us, of course. We are joined by Rabbi Ira. He want me to call him Ira, but I ain't going to call you Ira. Okay, I'm going to call you Rabbi Ira. And, of course, Keith Johnson. He's a man of God, too, former chaplain to the Minnesota Vikings, and we are being joined by our scholar on the phone.
Yes.
Our guest joining us on the phone is the Reverend Doctor. Now, you know these people want to be called Reverend Doctor. This is the real Reverend Doctor. She got credentials.
She got
a real doctorate and a real reverend. Joining us here on the Don Miller Show, I read her piece in the Huffington Post just recently, and it was an amazing piece entitled Eddie Long is Not a King. Joining us here on the Don Miller Show, Professor Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney. Hey, Professor Reverend Doctor.
Hi, Don. How are you?
Thank you for having me on. Professor, thank you so much for joining us. Your piece was amazing. And I'm joined in the studio by Rabbi Ira and, of course, Keith Johnson, a Christian and a Jewish minister. And, Professor, when you saw this, what prompted you to go line for a line and attempt to expose this nonsense?
Well, I couldn't make it through the first 30 seconds that was not truthful, and I didn't know where to begin, so it also gave me a break from listening to it. I would just pause the playback and type what was not true or being misrepresented. And please allow me to say good evening, Shabbat Shalom, and Laila Tov to Rabbi Ira, and hello and good evening to Minister Keith Johnson.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
How are you?
Well, thank you.
Professor, you're an African-American, and
Yes. You
have extensive knowledge in the area of Christian Hebrew, right? And biblical scripture, correct?
Yes, my PhD is in Hebrew Bible.
Amen.
Okay, Professor, how do people sit? Professor, when you started writing, did you feel any anger at any point?
I did. I was first shocked and then horrified. My feeling was that the Torah had actually been blasphemed, desecrated, blasphemed. And then I was angry, and I was angry particularly as a Christian, because there is, in the longer history of Judaism and Christianity, Christian mistreatment of Judaism and sacred things.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't need to do that again, and we certainly don't need that coming in an African-American congregation. Mm-hmm. So I was horrified.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Keith.
Well, I just have to say, first of all, it's so refreshing to know that someone like yourself, who I'm sitting here, I only have one witness in the radio station with me, is my Hebrew Bible, and this Hebrew Bible for me is the very blueprint. And what the frustration is, so many of our brothers and sisters, pastors, and others that are involved in these areas, here we have the Bible that we read in English, and what Rabbi quote unquote Messer is doing is he's coming to them with supposed knowledge of the Hebrew Bible. But I have held the Hebrew Bible in front of him and said, would you please read it? And after an hour of him arguing with me about why he didn't want us to learn it and to know it, I opened it up and I gave him Genesis chapter 1, Bereshit chapter 1, verse 1 in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. And it took him, I think, about, I'd say over a minute to just read Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et ha'aretz, and he did not even quote it correctly. So when I'm talking to someone who, like yourself, who understands it, Ira, who can sing it and cant it and read it, and then someone like him comes and purports to be an expert but cannot even read the Bible, that causes a problem.
It absolutely, and I think you hit the nail on the head, sir, when you said that he is preying on ignorance. And ignorance is not a negative accusation. It's the state of not having knowledge of something. He is preying on the ignorance in some congregations, in some megachurch congregations, in some African-American congregations. He's taking advantage of people's lack of knowledge of biblical Hebrew, of African Israelite religion, and of contemporary rabbinic Judaism.
Mm-hmm. Professor, he in his conversation, he talks about the eternal government of God. And listen, I'm not a scholar in this by any means, but when I heard that, what was that about?
I have no idea. He made that equivalent to the Torah. There is no pasuk, no verse that says that about the Torah, about the word. That's one of his free associations, word associations, but we don't know what it's related to. It's a lot like a Rorschach test. Mm-hmm. He sees patterns and images that, quite frankly, no one else sees. And as you've indicated, he's not actually getting them from reading or studying the text in Hebrew, or for that matter, quite frankly, in English. It just simply doesn't say that.
But how arrogant must one be to come into a building of more than 20,000 people and not think for 1 minute that there's someone in here who might understand this? Is that arrogance, or is just knowing where to go?
Absolutely. A dear friend and colleague, Pastor Leslie Callahan, makes the point repeatedly that lay people are not stupid. In fact, all of us who are clergy are also lay people. Lay people are educated. People in congregations have master's degrees and doctor's degrees. And I would like to suggest that there were not 20,000 people left in that congregation, that many, many people have left as the result of the scandals. And you could see empty seats in that video.
Well, listen, I am amazed at this, but I would like to take this opportunity to talk with you, Professor, and of course with Keith. About what is happening in America's black church. And I made an analogy off the air, and I'll make it on the air, that I am seeing the mega church as being something more negative in many instances as it relates to the people than positive. What is happening with the black church? Why are we seeing so much scandal? Why are in 2008, Pew Research Institute puts out that African American churches did over $14 billion in untaxed revenue, yet in every urban city in this country, the plight remains the same. Professor, what happened to the church being a part of the development and uplifting of man as a whole?
I want to suggest that what we are not always seeing are the black churches and congregations that are doing well. That is that we focus attention on some of the horror stories, but there are plenty of faithful congregations that are doing the work of God, black churches, black mosques, black synagogues, that are not being circulated on YouTube because they're doing the work of tending the people of God. So I don't want to say that the entire constellation of black Christianity or black religiosity is in trouble. I want to suggest that there are lots of faithful congregations. But there are some patterns with some of these mega churches, particularly those mega churches that have cult of personality at the center, that don't require any theological education, that their constitution prevents people from asking questions and seeing figures and having regular accounting participation. Those types of systems are problematic, and they don't just occur in the African-American community.
But Professor, I'm seeing more seeker-friendly churches in America today than I've ever seen before. absolute seeker-friendly churches. No accountability, okay. No religious education. Just come and give us your tithing, or just hang out with us for a couple of hours. Seeker-friendly. There's no work. What happened to the work?
I don't know, but I also know that there are churches that require spiritual commitment and investment that are growing. Mm-hmm. I'm an Episcopalian. Some people like to say that Episcopalians aren't part of the black church. I beg to differ. Our congregation is growing. People join church on a weekly basis.
Okay.
We ask them, when you join, do you commit to loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might? And will you give your time, your talent, and your treasure? When somebody walks up to the front of the church, my rector, Martini Shaw, asks that question. You make a commitment right then.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Dwayne, real quick.
We got a call.
We got a call on the line.
Let's go to the phone lines.
Simca, I think her name is.
Yes.
You're on the Don Miller Show.
Hello, Rabbi Ira?
Yes.
Shalom Aleichem, La Brehut. I am a newlywed to a good yid, and I would like to support my husband, but I'd like to know how I can refute erroneous misgivings of from others that they think they know all about the scriptures, especially the Torah and all that. But how can I, when I'm just new and I'm learning and I want to convert, but I don't know how to defend them, how to defend the Jewish faith and everything when I don't know everything yet? Can you give me some advice?
Well, the advice that I would give you is to find a good local rabbi.
We live where there's very, I think we're the only Jews around here.
Okay, well, I would look into something like Chabad or one of the Chabad houses, which does a lot to teach people like yourself that are new to the faith.
Mm-hmm.
That would be one of my suggestions.
I think the Chabad house is in Michigan, I think.
Thank you, caller. Professor, I have a question for you. And I hate to interrupt that call, but we want to make sure we stay on topic. And I apologize, but we do want to make sure we stay focused on what we're talking about. Professor, I have a question for you. I understand that this particular person, Ralph Messer, is going to different churches, mega churches, trying to restore the public image of a lot of the leaders by using this Jewish ceremony. My question to you is, what happened to just the basic or the common process of restoration? And I know that the first step of that process is a confession or an admittance that there was something that was in error or done wrong. Or when you go to AAA, you stand up and you say your name and say, I'm an alcoholic, or I'm a drug addict, or I'm a this. How do you justify a ceremony that restores confidence in a leader when he has yet to admit that he has ever committed anything wrong?
Well, that's what I think is attractive about it from that perspective, is that it's a substitute. It means you don't have to say, I did wrong. You don't have to step down, not for a little while. You don't have to resign. It's some spiritual hocus pocus.
Professor, you did not say hocus pocus.
Keep it real, Professor. I like it.
Let me remind you, let me be a church nerd and professor for a while, but hocus pocus actually comes from the Latin hocus corpus meum, which was one of the lines of the Mass in Latin, and people in the back didn't know. What did the priest just say? I don't know, some hocus pocus. So it really does have a churchly origin.
Okay.
But people are looking for a way to not be held accountable, so that if this works, and the question is, why are so many of these troubled leaders inviting him in, welcoming him in, and perhaps paying him very well for this?
Absolutely.
Because if people buy it, then they get to continue in their office with no accountability, no repentance, no penance, no stepping down, no resigning, no being held accountable. They're using this narrative that they have a sort of one-on-one conversation with God. God says this is all right. God sent this person. This person is a prophet, rabbi, apostle, emissary. And you just have to accept it and send your money.
You know, Professor, you just hit on something that I talk about all the time here. And it's interesting because I am looking at a level of these guys continue to get involved in nonsense, yet nobody is saying, hey, wait a minute, you know, maybe you want to step down. We saw it close up and personal right here in Central Florida, where a local pastor was just out of control. And the other pastors, who I would hope that there's some level of fraternity or fraternal organization, that nobody went to this guy and said, hey, dude, you might want to take a minute. Do these people, as they grow, do they lose the brethren concept?
It is so important that all pastors and priests and other clergy have communities of accountability.
I'm going to write that down.
Large church leaders, large religious institution leaders, are not accessible. People can't just call them or phone them or text them. They're insulated to be protected from the people, and therefore they don't always have people who can be honest with them, who have the authority and the gravitas to say, sister, brother, you messed up. And when people are trying to get something from them, they want to be promoted. They want their book in their congregation. They want to be invited to preach. Then they don't always have a motive to hold up that mirror and say, sister, brother, you've fallen here. You failed here. So people need to have fellow pastors, clergy, and also empowered lay people in the organization who have the authority to say, we as the community have concerns about the direction of our leadership. When you have a hegemony, when you have essentially a religious emperor, then you can't have that kind of healthy feedback.
This is great.
Wow.
Keith, listen, you know, you're a pastor, Keith, and you've engaged. Don't you love it?
No, I really do. It's just exciting to hear, you know, the other perspective. And this is why I'm actually in Florida right now. The reason I'm in Florida right now is because Rabbi Ira and Chris at Cathedral of Power, they share a building. He's actually given access for Ira to do what he's doing with the Hebrew Roots Movement on Shabbat, and then on Sunday, there's Sunday. And so I said, if I come, I want to talk to both groups.
Wow.
And they came together and said, absolutely, come in and do that. And I had no idea that this was going to happen this week. But what's so powerful about this and why I want to encourage them is that they're an example. Here you got black and white, Jew and Gentile, coming together and saying, look, let's find a way to find common ground. That's what I'm excited about. Now, when I saw this video, I thought that is the exact opposite of that. What that was not about finding common ground. It was about somebody coming in with an agenda and using information, attempting to use inspiration to cause people to actually find themselves more lost than being found.
Well, Professor, listen, we want to thank you for joining us, Professor Will Gaffney. Professor, I want to tell everybody they can head over. How can they find you? Because I got to tell you, people are going to read what you write. How can they find you, and how can they reach you?
I'm at the Lutheran Theological Seminary in Philadelphia. I have a public faculty page with some of my writings on it, and I have an Amazon author page.
Okay, well, I'm going to make sure we promote that. Professor Will Gaffney, Ph.D., the good reverend. She went to real school, and she calls it like she sees it. Thank you so much, Reverend. Look, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, you're listening to the Don Miller Show, our in-studio guest, Keith Johnson, and, of course, my guy, Rabbi Ira. I'm going to call him Ira before we leave here tonight, but I'm going to apologize. You listen to the Don Miller Show. We're going to wrap this up. When we come back, and we're going to go strong on the end. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Don Miller Show here on the Big 810 AM.